joking. I'm serious.
I'm sorry. You just surprised me, that's all. It's not every day that a girl opens the door and a man comes in and proposes to her.
Will you do?
No matter what I say, I'll only hurt you.
I want to hear it anyway. It's Tony, isn't it?
No. It's us, Scott. You and me. I admire you more than any man in the world. But we both know that's not enough.
But there's no what? Is there Whiffy around here? I forget that there's Whiffy around here. We're all just going. There's more iPhone apps. There's more. But there's more iPhone scratching apps.
Is there?
Yeah.
Are there? Is there?
Where are you? But, yeah, this is always so.
Yeah. So, greetings, everybody. This is Wes.
And this is the world-famous Mark Burnet.
And what day is today?
It's Thursday.
The what?
The, I don't know.
You don't have a watch?
I do, but the date's very hard to read. I can't quite. It's
mine
September or something
it's
or other.
It's the 3rd.
Of September.
Of September.
200 Niner Asrath. It's very getting very close to Niner 09 date.
999. Which what? A movie is coming out then. Niner.
Oh, okay.
Asrath.
Niner.
So, and there's a movie coming out which is brought to us by that weird guy.
Yeah, I forgot the name of it.
Forget the name of it either.
Yeah.
As well.
But if people go to slurpcast.com, they'll see show notes behind this podcast, and we'll probably put it in there.
So, Mark and I get together once a week to go over the weekly tech news with an emphasis on old technology, since that's something that we like to explore and talk about.
Right.
We sometimes try to relate new technology to old technology, although that doesn't really seem to happen that
right.
much.
Sometimes.
I do have a new thing that I want to talk about, which I was explaining to you about earlier.
Okay.
My girlfriend has a camera, and a lot of photographers get into the situation where they're going away on vacation or they're going someplace where they can't really realistically bring a laptop.
Right.
So... So there's a need to find...
Are you going to the jungles or something?
Why, oh, yes.
Why exactly
actually,
can't you bring a
actually,
laptop?
Yes.
Why can't you bring a laptop? But anyway.
So there's a need to bring portable storage with them.
Okay.
Only no very easy way to download the images from the flash card that's built into the... Or installed in the camera to this external media.
Okay.
Well, I did a lot of research on devices that are out there. And I found that there's a technology called OTG, which is on-the-go USB technology.
Okay.
It's a specification that is now a part of the USB 3.0 spec, although people have been manufacturing devices that are OTG compliant since early 2.0 was released.
Okay.
I even know of some devices that are, I guess you could call them OTG, but they don't specifically say that are USB 1.
Okay.
So what it looks like is that... basically, OTG means that whenever you have a USB hard drive or device that's compliant, and you want to plug that into another device, that means that hard drive has the intelligence enough to dump its contents to this secondary device that you plugged it into.
Just simply, can you give any commands somehow that specify anything, or just... One dumps to the other one, that's all there is to it.
Well, I don't know what the commands are that are available, but what I've been reading about is that it's a standard that's built into the drives so that you can have a device, if you plug a drive in to another device, the drive knows enough to grab the contents
Okay.
I bet there's got to be some kind of a button or some kind of command.
But can you, like, redirect it to a specific directory, or just simply it just dumps sequentially to the next file available?
I don't know the details of it, but it is a part of, it is the spec that you can go look at on the web, and we'll include a link directly to that OGG.
But you're buying one. You're going to buy one of these devices, and we'll figure it out.
So there is a device that, so basically these things came out in the USB 2.0 stage. I started looking at bridges. They're called OTG bridges, which allow you to connect like a camera to a hard drive, or iPod to a camera, or a hard drive to a hard drive.
Okay.
And there have been several devices that have been created, but they started out around 2003 and seem to have died off in 2006.
I've seen them occasionally. I know what you mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are some that were, there was one by Memorex, and that's still sold today. Although,
oh, sorry, Apple had one.
Yes, Apple had
one. I remember now where I saw it before. Apple had one.
Yeah, they had a device you could plug into a, like a fifth generation iPod.
Right.
And then it had a USB. It was like a little connector.
Yeah.
And you could plug a camera in.
Yeah,
a
I
USB
remember that.
To
yes.
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it seemed very limited. I was thinking about it at the time. I was looking at it, but it just seemed extremely limited in what it was able to do.
It was cool that you could, in that you could look at the images that you downloaded to the iPod hard drive.
Okay.
But that was pretty much it. I mean, you could, and the, it was USB 1, and it was really, really slow. That's what I do remember. I had one of these link converters, camera link devices.
Okay.
Yeah, not so cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, so there, these other devices that were created, they all have their share of problems. Like, they don't supply enough power or any power to the USB ports.
Okay.
So the idea of tagging along an external hard drive is relatively zero unless you have the power supply for the actual bridge.
And the power supply for an external hard drive is bigger than the hard drive.
Right.
They
there are USB drives that grab their power from...
Oh, yeah, that's true. The notebook size, the ones that take 3.5 inches. I have seen those,
Yeah, so these smaller OTG-compliant bridges would not work well with those unless you plug the OTG device or bridge into the wall. I mean, they have
but I bet they come with some huge power supply. There's some reason. They always do stupid things like that. The small device will have a brick the size of a notebook brick.
Exactly. So I settled on a device that seems to have... I don't know, like troughed in the year 2006.
Okay.
Part of my research was asking the question, why did they stop really being made in 2006 and 2007? And I think the answer to that, first of all, there is one that is still made today, but it's about somewhere around, what is it, $400, $300-something for the lowest model that has like a 60 gig drive, which is really nothing.
Right.
Epson makes it. It's a hard drive with USB port for cameras, and it also has smart media card slot.
All built into one
device, and a screen with a joystick, so that you can actually you can look at the images that you download to it. But it's expensive, and just sort of silly, and didn't make much sense for me to buy something like that. I decided to purchase the Hitch product, which is a Linux-based product, and they encourage people to grab their API and use it for whatever the needs there are, that, you know, the developer or hacker community can come up with. It's been a couple of updates since its release. It has an LCD display. Anyway, it's supposed to work pretty well. So it has a rechargeable battery that powers appropriately both USB ports.
Now, with the battery, how big is this thing? With the batteries, with everything,
it's about the same size as an iPod, the fifth generation iPod. That
including batteries
thickness,
and everything.
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
I'm guessing. It might be a little smaller than that. I'll share it with you when I get it.
No, because it has to be the size. It has a real like notebook drive in it, right? So I kind of
It has no drive whatsoever.
What? Oh, because it's only the bridge.
Yes.
I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I understand that.
But it does supply power and has a battery.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
To be able to allow you to plug in other devices.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of kludgy by the time you're done with your whole thing. It just sounds like you're... Why doesn't someone make something like that but has the hard drive built in also?
Well, that's what the Epson device is.
I was gonna make
only the Epson device is like really small in size. 60 gigs is not a lot for $200.
No, but if it just uses notebook style drive technology, they should be able to plug in any other size of drive just as easily nowadays.
Yeah, my theory is that they're just pulling one over on us and saying that, oh, we're aiming this at the photography, professional photography market, so we're therefore going to charge this much money.
Right. That's true.
But did I say the reason why it died down is because of netbooks?
Yeah. Because it does make more sense almost to buy a netbook for this purpose, right?
Yeah, this kind of OTG idea of having these bridges stopped around 2006 and 7.
Okay.
And when I got on, believe it or not, IRC,
right,
the people that were there were talking to me about this. Mm-hmm. Some people were using, like, media players,
okay,
like SanDisk devices,
right,
that had OTG, they were OTG compliant and would actually copy from the cameras down into the media player. But they basically said, well, you know, it's just so easy to lug around a little netbook that, there's no need. And I can actually run, like, you know, Photoshop. And
and netbooks have batteries, they have hard drives, they have everything,
So there you go.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, I want to see when you get it to see how big it is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Anyway.
So did you buy Snow Leopard?
Yes, I did.
I'm not a Mac person at all, so I did not.
I bought Snow Leopard and I installed it last night.
Okay.
And I have not had a chance to really dive in.
People are claiming you really don't notice the difference. It's almost not worth the bother.
Well, I've heard somebody say that that for devices that have about 2 gigs or less,
mm-hmm,
actually probably around 1 gig, like my Mac Mini does, that it's not it actually runs slower than the previous version of the OS.
Really?
So,
That's not good.
Not good.
Then why did you get it then?
I got it because it's the latest and greatest thing, and everybody has to have the latest and greatest thing. So I went out and I spent $30 on an OS that's going to slow my machine down.
Okay.
No, I actually launched Logic, which is what I really use.
Did it really seem any slower?
No, it seemed fine. It seemed a little bit snappier to me.
Okay.
So, but I didn't dive into it. So.
Huh.
Yeah.
So how come everyone claims, including all Mac commercials, that Macs don't have any viruses and stuff? How come Snow Leopard seems to have an antivirus built in? What's with that?
I heard that. I'm not sure why. But being that it's based on BSD Linux, not many hackers really care that much to write viruses for Linux, i.e. the Mac OS as well.
But the Mac OS...
There are some.
Again, I'm not a Mac person at all. But just looking at security bulletins and stuff like that, Apple has just as many security bulletins for Mac OS as Microsoft does for Windows.
Are you sure?
They have a lot. I don't know. I've seen statistics claiming it's as many. I don't know about that, but it does seem to have some.
Well, the security is pretty good, being that it's Linux through and through.
No, but you have all the standard Linux. It's not Linux. FreeBSD is different. So you have whatever FreeBSD vulnerabilities might be around, and you have all the Mac, all the Apple-added macOS stuff that could have vulnerabilities, and you have the possibility of Trojan horses where people deliberately accept a program thinking it does something but it does something else, and that security in the operating system can't prevent that sort of thing. So why wouldn't it?
Yeah, but things just execute like that under Mac.
No, but people might think it's a game. People might execute it thinking it's something that they desire, and then it turns out to do something else.
Okay, well, that is true. I didn't say they didn't have viruses. I just said that they don't have as many.
But I
think it's still, in terms of market share, it's more to the benefit of a developer or a hacker to write a virus for the PC than it is for the Mac.
Well, but on the PC, everyone has antivirus programs, so it may not get that far, although they do. I know they do. But on the Mac, since people are foolish and run an operating system that has all kinds of vulnerabilities, may not keep up to date, and never run antivirus programs, seems like a perfect playground for me.
Well, I'll tell you something that's even better than that about Snow Leopard. One, they put snow on a leopard to photograph.
There's no such thing as a real snow leopard?
No, I think there is, but just the idea that, just looking at the picture, it's like you just dumped snow on a leopard. What's going on with that? The leopard's kind of looking like it's not real happy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Okay.
But number two, a bigger thing for me is by default,
right.
If you have a 64-bit capable machine
right.
and you boot up on Snow Leopard, it defaults to 32-bit.
That's because the operating system doesn't do 64-bit.
Yes, it does.
It only runs 64-bit applications.
No, it does
but
do
the
64-bit.
Then,
no,
yeah.
it does. But you have to hold down the 6 and the 4 key at boot up in order to actually tell it to run in 64-bit mode.
For the kernel? I read somewhere the kernel didn't even do that or something. Okay. And then people were claiming it doesn't matter. Because 64-bit is really more a memory model than it is performance or anything else. So it doesn't necessarily matter, actually.
Well, when there's more 64-bit apps written, that's where it's going to make a difference, I think.
Okay.
But you're right. If you're even in 32-bit mode, I think that if you have like 4 gigs of RAM, they will be recognized.
Right.
It will be recognized with the 32-bit.
Yeah, maybe the applications will be able to... to use the extra memory and stuff, yeah. But see, but getting back to the viruses for a second, to me, it's very possible that Mac people think they don't have viruses simply because the virus writers are writing only the modern type virus. You know, there's all those Windows viruses around that do pop-up ads all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But those are really kind of stupid because people know they're there and they start running antivirus programs, anti-spyware programs to catch them. But the clever viruses on a PC will hide in the background with no symptoms whatsoever.
Right.
Because their goal is to steal information.
There are symptoms in that it slows the system down.
But then that tends to be because you have like 50 of them get loaded in all at once.
Right.
Or something.
They're parasites,
but,
damn it.
I know. But just one clever virus that does nothing but monitor all your keystrokes and send in all the banking sites you go to and your banking passwords and stuff. You know, clever ones like that shouldn't slow you down and shouldn't crash or have any symptoms whatsoever if they're properly written.
All right.
And those are the really dangerous kind of viruses nowadays. Also botnet ones, I guess. Things that take over your computer and make it into a botnet. But how do Mac people know that that's not going on their machines right now? You know, the clever type of virus that doesn't do pop-ups and doesn't crash the system. Maybe they do have them stealing information. Maybe they, like people do have them sending out spam stuff, just don't realize it because they run antivirus
programs.
Well,
generally, there's groups of people, I don't know, organizations that do monitor things like this, and there are some people out there looking for viruses and things related to the Mac OS, and even malicious things that are going on within applications themselves.
Right.
So if that were true, somebody would be reporting these things and there'd be publicity about it. Like, oh, look, the Macintosh is not a, you know, the Mac is not a...
Mac people would keep that secret. Mac people never, ever, ever admit publicly there's a problem with the Mac. You know, because I've seen people tweeting before.
Yeah, yeah.
This totally shocked me.
But something like
I've seen
that,
people tweeting that they had problems with their Mac.
Right.
And I do, of course, immediately point out to them they should really keep that quiet. You're supposed to pretend the Mac is perfect and Windows is the one with problems. And, and these people do kind of agree with me that they shouldn't be doing it, but they just don't religiously believe that, these particular people. But Mac people would not normally talk about problems.
Yes, they would. You know? If you're trying to get something done, it doesn't matter. If you need help, you need help.
Mm-hmm.
The Macintosh was famous, like OS 9 days, it was famous for like OS 8 and OS 9, when the system went down or crashed, the alerts that you were given, or the error messages you were given, were just as bad as any PC.
But they probably probably warn you to keep us quiet, because if you talk about it publicly, everyone will laugh at you. They probably fine print of the warning probably says that.
It would say, if you say anything bad, Steve is going to come to your house and...
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Take out your firstborn.
I know.
No, I don't know. I mean, the benefit Apple has is that they make their own hardware. They set the standards for the hardware and the software, whereas, you know, Microsoft doesn't.
Right.
This is the ongoing argument that Microsoft has to create an OS that runs on hardware that they don't even know about.
But that wouldn't typically cause vulnerabilities, though.
What?
I mean, the PC's hardware is standardized enough. I don't think there's vulnerabilities that viruses could sneak in because of different hardware.
No.
No.
I guess you're right. In that sense. But what I'm saying is that outside of the Unix being pretty solid and locked down,
yeah,
and hard to crack and get into security wise, they own the hardware, whereas Microsoft does not. So they can do tricks and tips and things in the hardware and software,
yeah,
to add security, be more protected.
Anyway, since as you say, Microsoft.
Yeah, bullshit.
Right? Only the hardware may not make any difference. I don't know.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, so what's Microsoft going to do with their stores? They should be opening pretty soon. Because Microsoft doesn't really make complete PCs or anything.
Right.
What's the Microsoft store going to be selling?
Probably what they did back in the Metreon days, just on steroids. Just basically like overblown.
You can't admit the Metreon exists. Because Microsoft is opening brand new stores. They never had stores before.
Oh, okay.
That's a brand new thing.
That's not brand new.
So we can't admit that the Metro
they did it before?
Yeah.
No, anything related to PCs, I expect they're going to sell there. They're going to take over the Virgin Megastore in downtown San Francisco off of Market, right?
Are they?
The rumor is that that's what they're doing.
That kind of makes sense because
right
it's a block from the Apple store.
Right,
yeah.
It's right next to Apple. Uh-huh. In fact, it faces it on one side.
That's a pretty big store, though. That's like three stories and stuff.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, I expect things to be like, anything related to the PC,
right,
the Zune, Xbox 360. I know people are waiting for me to say that.
Okay.
The Spot Watch? No.
They could have an entire floor. I should get a job. I should get a job
floor.
There. I should get a job there as a Spot Watch salesman. I'd do that. That would be fun.
I would.
Yeah.
You'd have to do hourly displays and shows.
Right.
Things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hourly tours of the Spot Watch technology.
I know.
Brought to you by Mark Renee.
Exactly. Really. If they have three stories to fill up, they'd almost have to. What else are they going to do?
I mean,
how many clones can you have, and how many notebooks can you have?
Okay.
Oh, so they have one shelf full of Microsoft software.
Right.
It's not really that much. I mean, one bookcase would fit all the Microsoft software. I guess you do want a server room. A room with all the server stuff. And
you could
the
do that.
Home server stuff. That would make sense. Yeah.
They got to have their equivalent of the Genius Bar.
Right.
The guy walking through going, oh my God, I love this watch. Oh my God,
but will
I
they
love
have,
this watch.
Will they have a glass staircase?
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Yeah. I don't know. They should have a floor that's sloped, and it's made out of
some surface.
Like glass material.
They could have a couple of surfaces or something.
Okay.
I'm sure they would, right? Actually, I'm sure they would have surface machines.
Yeah.
You know?
Surface what?
Their table.
Oh, that's right.
Table.
That
they'd have those,
cool.
Yeah.
No, but they should have the whole floor be a CRT monitor facing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they can display things on the floor.
Okay. That would be for the new operating system called Microsoft Floors. Yeah. And Microsoft Ceilings. Okay, so they'll fill up the room. Never mind.
Yeah, they'll fill it up.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Hold up on different things.
Okay.
I don't know. Zune. They're gonna try to promote this new Zune HD.
No, I was talking to someone,
which is one of my stories. But
I was talking to MediaHound. MediaHound claims that if Microsoft opens next to an Apple store, who would ever buy a Zune when they can walk next door and buy an iPod?
Well, compared to Apple, I'm not going to say that Zune's going to win, but I will say that they're learning from their mistakes. And this new Zune HD that's coming out with the OLED display.
Right.
And the fact that you can...
Is it thin? Is it small?
Yeah. It is, and it's very, very well done. And apparently it acts as a media center. You can actually hook it in. At some point, they're going to have it hook into the Xbox.
Oh, okay.
As well as hook an HDMI cable into it to plug into a TV to watch whatever you've got.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool.
Can it run fart apps?
It will have an app store.
Yeah. Okay.
When it comes out.
But different from Windows Mobile phones? I mean, like yet again, a different standard?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. Yet again.
Mm. So if someone wants to run a fart app nowadays, you need an iPhone version. They need a Zune version. They need a BlackBerry version.
Right.
Need a an Android version, the right. Windows Mobile version. That's a lot of fart apps, you know.
No. I think somebody has to do like the .NET, the Visual Studio .NET cross-platform.
Cross-platform fart app compiler?
That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Do I have a website?
Microsoft has the...
I have a lot of domain names. Would any of my domain names happen to be suitable for a cross-platform fart app compiler? Probably not.
How many domain names do you have?
I do own buttgas.com.
Buttgas?
Yeah, that could be appropriate. That could be appropriate for that. I almost had fart apps. I was stupid. I there was a day that I could have had fartapps.com, but I didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
And then that was taken later. I could kick myself for not getting fartapps.com.
Yeah.
You know, and then... I have a lot of domain names, so maybe I can think of something good for this.
Do you know how many you have right now?
Oh, 70-something.
Really?
Yeah.
So I can't... I couldn't ask you to put those in the show notes.
All of them?
Yeah. Would you want to?
Well, no, I could. But why?
Partly curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Partly somebody might want to buy one.
No, they're mine.
Because you know that
I would never give them up.
It's just amazing on our site.
They're mine. I would never give them up. What are you talking about?
Oh. Nice. Now, are they all registered through GoDaddy or what?
Yeah, at the moment, everything's in GoDaddy. Yes. GoDaddy.com. Is that right?
Can you get any GoDaddy domains in China?
In China?
Is it Africa? Who do they block?
They'll sell a lot of the countries.
Don't they block access?
Oh, GoDaddy?
Yeah.
To the domain name?
Yeah, to the domain. Don't if you register a domain name with GoDaddy, there are certain countries that do not have access to GoDaddy.
No. Well, yes. No, maybe if you use their web services. I don't. I just get the name through them. I don't use anything else through them. That can't be true in my case. I don't think.
No, you even said this before.
But the worldwide DNS servers won't resolve? How would they even know?
Yeah. That GoDaddy blocks...
What I was saying is that they'll take complaints about your domain. If you're misusing the domain, they may accept complaints and shut you off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. No, I'm not sure.
But, I have to look that up, because I think they do... I've heard that they do block access to domains.
No, but it would have to be one if you're using their DNS servers and stuff, and I don't.
Really?
I don't use anything of them whatsoever except for the name.
Okay. Well, maybe we got to refresh my memory. We talked about this in a previous show, but...
Yeah, I don't remember.
All right.
Good.
Okay, so...
Anyway.
Let me go to stories.
Okay.
We've been rambling on and on.
Okay.
So the new Zune that I was talking about,
right?
It's called the Zune HD. It's got the OLED display. It's got an HD radio, high def video out capabilities, an internet browser, and more.
Ooh, and more too.
More. Pre-orders are going to be able to start on September 15th.
Okay.
And we're looking at Zune devices, Zune 4 gig, 8 gig, and 16 gig.
But how thick are they? Are they really thinner than they used to be?
Yeah, there's a picture of it.
Because that's what really always annoyed me about the
Zune before. It's actually metal to it. So to the left is the actual size. It looks like an iPod. Or touch.
But how thick is it, though?
No, to the left. Right. You can't see it.
Oh, yeah, I see
that little thin...
Yeah, it's hard to tell from that, though. Its original Zunes were just ridiculously thick for the day, for the time.
Yeah.
Because iPods were already very thin.
This looks a lot thinner. It does remind me of...
They have my CES story where I was lied to. That's why Microsoft was proudly showing off these Zunes. And I looked at one that said, that's ridiculously thick.
Yeah.
Who would ever buy this compared to an iPod that's much thinner? They said, oh, this is only a prototype. The real ones will be thinner. Oh. And he lied because the real ones were exactly the same. So, that killed it for me. I would never imagine buying one back then because of the thickness.
Isn't that what Larry Ellison did about Oracle?
want me to click?
Oh, no, it's going to have that feature. In your, oh, yeah, I know. No, no, yeah. It's going to have that.
Right, and then he didn't do it?
And then he did it.
Okay.
Well, then he did it.
Right.
Oh, no, no, that's a... Yeah. Yeah, that's a part of the package, yeah.
Right, right. Oh, I know, he was very, very perverse.
Yeah. He lied.
No.
Well, I don't know if you consider lying. It's not really lying if you make it happen.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
So, the new piece of information that I have to bring up is the fact that after many anguishing and frustrating moments for people who are AT&T customers using the iPhone, MMS is finally going to happen.
Not until September 25th. Yeah, I knew about that.
You did know about that. Yeah. I brought it up first, though, Mark.
You did. You did. But no tethering.
Well, you have to explain what that means. I know we've talked about that before, but what does it mean?
Well, MMS is this old-fashioned technology. As silly as floppy disks were to Mac, so why didn't have one?
Multimedia, so, what?
SMS, text messaging, basically.
Okay.
But it just lets you send pictures and
porn.
Or other binary files over a text message protocol instead of the web or email protocol.
Pictures of naked people.
That's right, they have a filter. It has to have someone naked. Right.
It has to have skin color in it.
Before it'll work.
Right. Yeah, that's AT&T's filter.
Anyway, so all phones but the iPhone have done MMS for years, and iPhone just kind of deliberately didn't do it because it already has emails, what do you need it for? But now the 3GS has that capability, and AT&T promised they would put it in the network, but they haven't.
Well, if you had a BlackBerry or a phone that had a camera in it, but was not an iPhone.
Yeah, they've all had that for years.
You could send an MMS message to an iPhone customer, and they wouldn't get it. If they got it, they'd get the message as a text message, but they couldn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did they have links? If someone did, because I've seen Verizon and Sprint handle phones that couldn't do it by sending you a text message with a URL, and then they take the MMS content of the message and post it to a web server and you pick it up that way.
I've seen
that. So maybe it did that. I don't know.
Okay. By the way, have some pizza. I got a large.
I'm full.
No, you're not.
I'm full. What did you get? That's grape leaf pizza or something weird. What is it?
No.
What is it?
I got corn pizza.
Okay.
With basil leaves.
That's kind of weird. Pizza's supposed to have pepperoni.
It's bacon.
Yeah, okay. Anyways.
So that'll be nice, right? I mean, for AT&T customers.
But again, an email does the same thing, so who cares? You know?
Yeah, but you can now send and receive to other customers, to other people outside of the AT&T network, which you couldn't do before. It was weird.
Okay. She took my fork. She took my fork again. They always take my fork.
Here.
Oh, thanks. Okay. This is a bizarre pizza. No pepperoni.
It's good.
No salami. No meatball. No ham.
Right.
No pineapple.
Right.
No, I don't know. Okay.
No, it's good.
Good.
It's different. It takes a little bit of getting used to, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
You've had it before.
I have, yeah. So it's the 40th anniversary of the internet. If you're willing to count two mainframe machines talking to each other over a really slow modem as being in the beginning of the internet.
You mean ARPANET?
Or whatever, yeah.
Or whatever it was?
Yeah. Oh.
20 years, huh?
40.
40?
40 since that event of just two machines being hooked together. They're calling that the internet. I don't know if that's a proper definition.
So
it'll
be 1969.
Ner. Something like that. Yeah. I just cut out these articles. I just bring these articles. I don't necessarily read them. So.
All right.
Anyway, there was one like that.
That's interesting. So I got a story that's by the time this show is out.
Okay.
We will have experienced the event that's going to be on September 8th.
Yes.
Whatever
Microsoft is planning to bring out with a Zune will become obsolete on September 8th.
Probably true. Yeah. Apple's supposedly going to release their tablet and a new version of the iPhone.
Right.
Well, I should say the new version of the iTouch.
Right. Yeah.
Which is going to have a camera, microphone.
These are all rumors, but right. It's possible.
Totally yeah. Rumors. Mm-hmm. Hopefully a GPS.
Okay.
With compass.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a weird app, you know, considering the compass really isn't, it's not a little floating needle or anything right. Like you're thinking of a compass. It's really just three magnetic field sensors that are all built into some little chip or something. Okay. It says, it just detects magnetic fields in three different directions, mm-hmm. And then software makes up the compass images and everything. So there's an app that you go into a store, like you're going to Thailand, you go into one of the fake jewelry stores there, and they show you something they claim is pure silver, but it might be an alloy with a lot of iron in it or something.
Okay. All right.
There's an app that you lay that thing down on your screen,
okay. And
it'll use the magnetometers to tell you whether it's pure silver or whether it has any iron mixed in. It's kind of a weird app,
that's
but it does make sense.
Would it work?
It could, yeah. It'll certainly tell you whether it's a metal that has any ferrous materials or not. Yes, it'll certainly work for that.
Huh.
So I guess if you know what kind of jewelry you're buying and what they're liable to pollute it with,
okay. Then
it might make
that
sense.
That'd be kind of cool if that works.
Yeah.
Interesting. Should we move on to apps now? Or?
Well, I have Wikipedia stories.
Oh, okay.
First of all, I forget exactly why I saw this, but there's a thing called the Uncyclopedia. Wikipedia is actually run on open software that anybody can install on their own web server.
Right.
And so anybody can make a website looking exactly like Wikipedia with the same wiki concept and giving out user IDs where people can update whatever they want and all that. Well, the thing called the Uncyclopedia, it looks exactly like Wikipedia, but the rules are you have to make your article false. Your article has to be amusing. Like, you write it on real-world topics.
All right.
But it has to be a parody, and everything has to be wrong about it.
Okay.
And there's a... Yeah, go to slurpcast.com. I'll not only give a link to it, but I'll try to remind myself in the meantime why I thought this is so funny. Because I saw an Uncyclopedia article. It was just hilarious about something. Yeah. Anyway, then the real Wikipedia has, two stories. They're starting to... restrict the ability of regular people to update.
All right.
That for any living person,
they're
going to have restrictions that any updates you make will have to be approved by a moderator later on, by someone who's familiar with that living person and kind of knows about what's likely to be true and not true about them. Forget it. These articles, actually, I saw these 2 or 3 weeks ago. It may already be in effect for all I know. I forget.
Wouldn't it cause a lot of controversy, though?
It did, but it's already...
Okay.
But say, it's only about living people, and the moderators are going to try to post things pretty quickly. And that, so, And then the second one...
Wikipedia is done now.
Yeah.
It's pretty much done if that's going to happen.
Yeah, you think so? You know,
I bet, yeah.
Yeah. But they were getting complaints from living people that people were deliberately sabotaging their site and saying bad things about them. Yeah.
It's no different than any other page on the internet.
Right.
It's just that it happens to have a lot of popularity, but so what? You do a search for me, you're going to find all kinds of bad things about me. Some of it true, some of it not.
Right.
I don't know.
So,
if you don't like it, don't play in the sandbox.
Anyway, so they're going to do that. And then they're going to start color coding text. So if there's new changes that haven't really been looked at by anybody yet, but just some random person types in some changes, that'll show up in one color, and things that aren't footnoted properly might show up in a different color and all that. So you can look at an article and see all those rainbow of colors for sentence by sentence about how accurate that sentence might be.
Can you turn it off?
I don't know. I don't think, I forget when that's supposed to happen. I've never seen an article doing that yet. I don't know. I'm not sure. That's apparently just a laboratory experiment right now. It's not actually in effect yet, but it might be.
All
right. Anyway. And for apps, I've got a lot of apps that your stupid BlackBerry can't run.
Yeah.
A lot of things your BlackBerry can't run. You know?
All right.
Like,
go ahead, Mark.
You know, we were talking in the last show about how Google Books archives magazines and newspapers as well as books.
Right.
And they had the Weekly World News, which is no longer showing up in shopping malls and in grocery stores.
Okay.
But you can see the entire history of it apparently on Google Books. Well, there's a Weekly World News iPhone app that your BlackBerry can't run that shows a bunch of headlines. You can't actually read the entire newspaper, but shows a bunch of headlines like Bat Boy or things like that.
All right.
And you can take a photograph and merge them together in this app so you can make a picture of your face looking like Bat Boy or whatever in the Weekly World News. So,
great.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you have to have a real iPhone to do that.
How about a touch?
Or a touch, yeah, whatever. And there's this really weird app, but it's actually very important. If pigs bother you, if you're religiously opposed to pigs and don't want to see a piggy bank icon, there's the Pocket Money program.
Which is what I use.
Yeah. Is it true that it has a piggy bank as its icon?
And in fact, when you log in, if you password protected, you get this big full page, full screen picture of a pig.
Oh, you know what? I don't know how this handles that. But shut up.
What?
Is he still working on this?
You know, we're done.
You all done?
Yeah.
Yeah. Box?
Yes, please. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Anything else for tonight?
No.
Well,
nothing. Yeah, I told those people to shut up. But anyway, for people who are bothered by the pig icon for religious reasons,
yeah,
or they just simply don't like pigs,
right?
There's a thing called the Pocket Money Launcher Flashlight.
Oh, what? Okay.
It's a program. It has a totally different icon. So you hide the pig icon away on your last screen.
Okay.
And then you run this one instead.
And don't buy any new applications, by the way.
Do what?
Don't buy any new applications, because if you fill up all your screens,
yeah,
and you buy a new application, it'll zoom all the way over to the last page where you have your pig, and it'll be very visible.
Oh, I see. That's true. You're right. So you run this program instead, which only merely has a different icon, and then it launches Pocket Money. It didn't mention
but
on here.
Pocket Money has
a pig in the password. You know what? I don't know the answer to that.
Let me show you.
Okay, I don't know the answer to that. But then they also throw in the flashlight, because everyone can use a flashlight.
Right.
Oh my God. You know what? I wonder if maybe going in this way, maybe they suppress that one also.
I don't know.
It doesn't mention that.
Okay.
Yeah, as I say, but the funniest thing of all is besides it doing that, it throws in a flashlight, because anyway, you can use a flashlight.
Wow.
Even people who hate pigs could use a flashlight. So, anyway.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Did you write that with the box again?
Yeah. It's a huge box for one slice of pizza. Okay, there's a million calculator apps for the iPhone, and for the BlackBerry also, probably.
Yeah.
But this one is called Real Calculator. You can set it into a mode where it will make mistakes to play a prank on your friends. Do you have a calculator for your BlackBerry that can deliberately make mistakes for your friends?
No.
I didn't think so.
That's awesome.
So, how about mosquito versus human? Yeah, you know that their sound, they're probably totally bullshit,
yeah,
but there's a theory that mosquitoes are afraid of very high-pitched tones.
Right, okay.
So you can buy little sound generators and try to chase away mosquitoes, or the iPhone apps, they'll do that. Well, this one is mosquito versus human. This one you can chase away humans with mosquito noises, so it can do both. It can do both functions.
All right. These are terrible. These are terrible applications.
No, great. You're jealous, see?
I am, but they're still terrible. All right, no, I'm not. They are terrible.
Okay, and how about Full Metal Penguin? You show people this app, it has cute little pictures of the penguins, but then they start yelling at you like a drill sergeant, giving you orders and stuff.
The penguins?
Yeah, the fish. It's called Full Metal Penguin, because they start yelling at you, and the little penguins do.
All right. So. I got nothing, but go ahead.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, how about the blue light and red light therapy programs.
Oh, what?
Like, one of these programs can cure acne, for example.
Can cure acne?
Yeah, because as everybody knows, if you get the right wavelengths of light and shine them brightly on your skin and on your body in different ways, you can cure diseases that way.
Oh,
so why have to buy a separate machine? This one, you choose which disease you're trying to cure, and it lights up your iPhone screen with the proper color to pass over your body and cure yourself, including fighting acne.
I bet you that's being marketed as a serious application.
Yeah, it is. But you can't do it on your BlackBerry.
It has the capability to do that. It's just nobody who uses has a BlackBerry cares.
Yeah, sure. Jealous. Okay, how about the Redneck Dating Service app?
The what?
Redneck Dating Service. It takes... I can't think of the word right now. When you get arrested, they take a mugshot.
It shows mugshots
of girls. As your dating service app, you try to match yourself with these mugshots of the pretty girls and see which ones you like and rate them and stuff like that.
It's horrible. All right.
Okay. Okay.
These are good, though.
Yeah. How about the one, this is the serious name, got through the App Store, Tickle the Beaver?
It actually got through? I can't believe it. Like, somebody would review that and be like, it's good.
So it's a picture of a beaver, and you tickle it, and it laughs and stuff, you know? and he can send postcards of the tickling beaver as postcards and stuff. So... Anyway, but your BlackBerry can't do that, you know, and you're just jealous.
Somebody's going to download that for their kids, and their kids are going to be playing with it in the backseat of the car as they're driving on.
And say, beaver.
Well, they tickle the beaver.
That's awesome.
So anyway, that's all I got for funny ones.
All right. Do you have serious ones?
No, probably. I'll have to look around. I never really prepared those.
I announced in the last show the Boxcar 2 was going to be released.
I didn't see I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if what I was reading, maybe what I read was something that was going to, like, happen. Maybe there was, like, a future release date, and I just missed that or something.
Yeah.
But it has not been updated yet.
Right. It may have been a future thing.
What's that?
It may well have been a future thing.
Yeah, I don't know where or why, but yeah, so I was expecting that. I really don't have any good applications other than the geocaching one that we talked about last week.
Right, and I got that in the meantime. I haven't actually tried it.
Okay.
I haven't actually tried it yet.
Yeah, we're going to try it going back to the
Because there is one supposedly right near us where we are right now.
Yeah.
Where are we? Did we mention we were at Pizza Antica?
I don't know if we did. Pizza Antica.
Yeah.
In Lafayette.
Yeah.
California. And she put the bill next to me.
Really? Okay. Well, should we mention the new tip calculator? This isn't very important because there's a million tip calculators, but there is one I kind of like called Tip Calc Revolution.
Yeah. Yes.
I just like the looks. And it is new, and it has very different looks.
It's hard to read. Actually, it's been around.
I think it's
been around for a little bit.
Has it?
Yeah.
Really?
But
I just heard about it.
No, it is pretty cool. It allows you to do your graph on, like out of the four or five people that have been eating.
Right. You can drag around... a pie chart to specify the one person ate more than other people.
Right, exactly. And then it splits up the bill appropriately that way.
Right.
Except you can't read it again. The font is like it's like really some weird script thing.
It's, right, exactly.
Yeah.
I was trying to look like handwriting here. What else do I like? These ones I use all the time, but... ones I use all the time, we've already talked about, basically, so...
You want to split it?
Sure.
Okay.
Were you doing credit cards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, you know what, if we split it, I could do... I have a 20 on me, I could... Let's see.
Okay.
Let's see here.
I have one I kind of like called Quick Office... And there's actually several like this, but there's Quick Office is one that it can read Microsoft Office documents.
Okay.
I can give it Word documents, PDF files, Excel documents, just all the different Word formats plus PDF.
Okay.
And upload those files to directories on the iPhone, directories within this application.
Okay.
And then fully read them and edit them to some extent on the iPhone.
Okay.
Yeah, with the iPhone keyboard, you're not going to be doing anything very much.
But that repository where you upload them to is completely locked from other applications?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Unless you're jailbroken, yes, definitely.
Okay.
But you do it through Wi-Fi. It's very, very typical.
Yes.
That iPhone apps like this will establish a web server.
Right.
And the documentation will show you the address to upload to. Then you
open a browser. You
know, open a browser on your PC or Mac and bring up that address. And then so your iPhone will serve web pages where you can upload things into this document thing.
Right.
So I kind of like that one.
Okay.
Yes, that's enough. That's enough for once. But
right. Well, I don't have any.
What? Well, just look through your phone, quick. Look through your touch, quick.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
So, I'll tell a story. I was looking for a PDF reader.
Oh, that, it can do it. QuickOffice can do that.
What's that?
QuickOffice can do that.
Okay, well, so I was looking for a PDF reader. It turns out you don't really need a PDF reader if you've got Wi-Fi or you're using an iPhone. The latest version of the firmware has a reader, a PDF reader, built
for
into the
email,
browser.
For email, will. Into the browser. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So you just simply point it to a PDF file. Most of them are now on the web, whereas like, you know, a company would make a PDF manual that they include within their you know, product box or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Put it on the CD. You can download that that maybe even more updated.
But you can't really get it offline, though. You'd have to go to the browser and find it every time.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, it's not going to be offline. Yeah. But it will cache the PDF file, so you don't need to be connected to the internet. So, like, you can open up multiple pages, have one page down, you know, point to the PDF file, have it downloaded.
Okay.
You can have open up a page, go to the PDF file, have the PDF file downloaded, open up another tab, and you always retain that, even if you're offline.
Okay. Okay.
So that works.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's it for me. I think we're done.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thanks, Wes.
What do we represent? www.slurpcast.com,
right?
Yep. Everybody listening has to make a
has
comment.
Has to slurp, yeah.
Oh.
Everyone has to slurp.
Okay.
And every time you slurp, think about us.
That's really...
And make a comment.
That's kind of gross, actually.
If you're slurping and you know it, leave a comment. Oh, I saw something kind of funny.
Syntax error?
Yeah, you saw that?
Yeah, you saw that one?
Yeah.
Is that from your... what was that from?
I saw it on Twitter or someone blog or something.
If you're happy and you know it's syntax error.
Yeah. And then you type that into a DOS command line and it comes back and says syntax error. Yeah. Oh, because you know why? Because if is a valid DOS command, but not with all those parameters. That's why. I didn't actually try it, but that makes sense that would do that.
That's hilarious.
Actually.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll let that one through.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the show.
Yeah, okay.